everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show, and ably assisted this week by Madison, our eighth grade intern who is quickly learning the ropes here of the radio business. So Madison, Ray, and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. Thursday, March the 2nd, 2017. Hope you have had a good week so far. Our live line number 790-2040. It has been a rather unsettling week, to say the least, for the Tucson Unified School District, which now has an opening for a new superintendent. The man or woman that will be chosen, I believe, will be the seventh educational leader for the state's second largest district in the past 17 years. Let's go now on the live line to the president of the TUSD Governing Board, Michael Hicks. Michael, how are you? How are you holding up through a very difficult week?
Thank you, Bill. It's been relatively difficult this week, and as you could expect, I mean, having a resignation of a leader is kind of disappointing.
Well, I think the question, Michael, who's now... There is an interim, I assume, who's running the store right now, right?
Well, currently the deputy superintendent, Ms. Karen Kopek, is the acting superintendent. We will be, I'm asking the board to provide some names of some individuals for consideration to be an interim superintendent that will help us lead us into... hopefully getting a permanent superintendent.
Now, within a day or so, actually 24 hours of the resignation of Dr. Sanchez, two more high-level officials have announced they're leaving the district. The chief human resources officer, her name is Anna Maiden, submitted her resignation effective June 30th, and the chief financial officer, Carla Soto, has turned in her notice. She has decided to retire effective 3rd. So how does that play into the Sanchez resignation?
Well, I don't know how it plays into his resignation, but I've been told that they've been thinking of coming back as a ESI employee. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work or not. So I just found out about the two potential resignations. I'm not sure if they're resignations or if they are, in fact, retiring or resignations. So I need to find that out. So there's some information that I need to find out in regards to those. But, you know, anytime that there's a change in leadership, this can be expected. So hopefully we'll move forward and continue to move the district forward. I truly do believe that change isn't bad. Change can be very good. So we'll just have to see how we go.
Michael Hicks, let me ask you, how are you planning as head of the board to kind of engage the community in determining just really what do the people of that are represented by you and your fellow board members, what do they want from a superintendent? Don't you think that is kind of the fundamental question here as we move forward?
Well, I think it's not just what they want from a superintendent, but what they want from a school district, mm-hmm. what they want from their local schools. They want individuals who are able to bring conformity to their schools, be able to lead the schools to a better place. So I believe we need to just look at what type of leadership we want. I'm hoping that we can find a leader who is local and who has the fortitude to be able to work with others and work with this board. I've made the commitment and vowed that I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that this board communicates and works together and works collaboratively. That's my goal, and that's something that I, take heart to.
Now, did I hear you say that you would prefer to go within the district or somebody that is a local educator than rather than go to the outside? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did. And if it's the board's thought, I keep hearing, you know, local control, local control, local control. Well, then we should be first looking at local members of the educational community to lead our district.
Let's talk about, go ahead.
If we can't find anything, then we go to a national search.
Let's talk about enrollment. There seem to be some confusion. Is enrollment going down? The last figures I saw from our friend David Morales at the Three Sonorans, he said that the enrollment is now at 47,522. Is that correct?
Well, from what I saw Tuesday night, I noticed that we were at the 100-day mark that we had lost over 500 students. It was brought forward that that number may be skewed a little bit because of the reporting, but until I see something that reflects otherwise, I'm going to have to go by what's being reported. And so what's being reported is we have lost some more students. I believe that the district can do better, and I believe that when we get moving here and we start functioning as a fully functional board, that we will get kids back into this district because we'll be able to provide more money into the classroom, more resources, provide better security for our kids, make sure that parents know that when they drop their kid off at the school or when they put them on the school bus, they're going to be safe and they're going to be in a safe learning environment.
Well, you certainly have your work cut out for you. Some nasty things were said at the meeting on Tuesday night, so you've got to decide or figure out somehow to find some common ground to move forward here. With that, correct? Am I correct in that?
Oh, sure. And this is the thing. Even with the community, and you know, I'm a big boy. I'm not worried about people coming before me who's only been here for 2 years and don't have an idea of what's really going on. If, in fact, that all these people have nothing but the best intention for our students and best intention to move this district forward, then you know what? We need to quit this bickering. We need to quit this arguing, quit throwing things out and say, we need to start, what is it we need to do to work more collaborative together to be able to bring this district and bring the district further and make this the best district in the nation. This district can be the best district in the nation. We have great teachers. We have great staff. We've got great administrators. We need somebody to come in and say, this is what, and it's not just the superintendent. It's the community, too. We need to get out of this and them, us and them, and all this, and say, you know what? This is where we're at. How do we move forward? And it takes the board, it takes staff, and it takes the community, and not coming before the board and yelling at the board, whoever at the board. I mean, you can go ahead and keep calling and giving me, you know, calling me SOB and da-da-da. But is that really going to fix the district? Is that really going to move the district forward? No. I've always said that I don't know everything, and I don't have the magic pill that magically creates, you know, great education, but I'm willing to do what it is, anything I can do to have that happen. So we need to come together as a community, even the people who may not like me, may not like one of the other board members, need to come up and say, all right, this is why we have an issue. We need to fix this. What is it we can do to help you fix this?
How about this?
I know that was a mouthful. Sorry.
No, that's all right. How have you taken? It's hard not to take this personally, isn't it, Michael?
I don't take it personally because a lot of times individuals are not there in things like this. They're not privy to all the information, whether at schools or at, you know, the administration or whatever. they're not, they only see what they were told usually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't take it necessarily personable, because people who know me, my friends, and I'm from Tucson, I've been here almost all my life. They know who I am. They know what I stand for. And they know that I'm doing the best that I can do, and that the board's doing the best that they can do. We need to just, as long as my friends and everybody else, some of the naysayers who come from outside of this district, sometimes outside of this community, just to come in to rebel rouse and to stir up so they can get their name in the news and everything, I don't pay attention to them. Now, if they come to me and say, you know what, this worked up in this area where I was, then let's talk. Let's see if it can work here in Tucson. I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
But I don't take things personally when people come at me and call me racist and call me this and that. I mean, just Tuesday night I had an individual who is very racist coming in, calling us racist. Mm. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Wow.
Well, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But if you really want to make this district move forward, you really have a concern for our students, you really have a concern to move this district forward, then you need to get out from underneath that and say, what is it we can do together to move this district forward?
All right, Michael Hicks. Michael, thank you for spending a few minutes with us. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. And just let me know if you ever want to talk again. I'm here. I'm not
okay.
going anywhere.
All right. Thanks, Michael Hicks, the president of the TUSD Governing Board. Hey, how about a road trip? We could all use that right about now. A 3-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Lots to do in downtown historic Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. You will find several dozen wonderful recreation opportunities, hiking, shopping, just hanging out in Silver City. Great places to stay as well. More on what's going on at TUSD after we take a break right here. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with David Coulier. Mr. Coulier is the past president of the National Society of Professional Journalists. Our Friday roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Jim Nitzel of The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, KBOI. Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, 3384 East River Road. It's going to be a great weekend to do some gardening. Temperatures starting very spring-like, around 80 degrees. How do you beat that? Maybe start off the weekend at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. They have those great workshops on Saturday and Sunday. That get underway at 10 o'clock. They are free, and check it out. So for Green Things, for all of your things green and all of your gardening supplies. Let's go back to the live line now. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education is Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, a one-time top Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Hendricks, you were listening to our interview with Michael Hicks. The board certainly has their work cut out for them as they move forward, but is it safe to say, Dr. Hendricks, that what happened here at TUSD is not quite commonplace, but it's certainly not an anomaly for large school districts, is it?
It's not an anomaly, Bill, but, you know, no matter where you weigh in on Dr. Sanchez's performance, this is not a cause for celebration. It really puts the district in a difficult situation, and I was pleased to hear Mr. Hicks use the word collaboration. In fact, he used it a couple times, and this is what, in my opinion, it's going to take on the part of this board if they're going to seriously search for a superintendent who's going to meet the needs of the community. They're going to have to come together first. They're going to have to collaborate. And I have not seen a lot of evidence of that. It's clearly one of the critical skills that you expect from a superintendent, but it's also a critical skill you should expect from board members, too. And I realize that TUSD is a very complex organization, but truly, if this board is going to be mired in personality conflicts and personal agendas, you know, this district's going to continue in turmoil, in my opinion.
Well, it doesn't.
And,
Go ahead. I was just going to say it doesn't take a brain scientist to figure out that if the board is so divided, so upset with each other, how is that going to play out when you bring in a candidate from the outside and he goes before this board, I mean, he certainly, will certainly have heard the history of the place. It's not going to play out, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, I've looked for a long time at the behavior of each of the board members, and I think they all contribute to this problem to varying degrees. And I think all of us, the community, is tired of the blame game. They're tired of the grandstanding. They're tired of the self-serving posturing. And I think this board really needs to decide how they're going to come together so that every symbolic gesture of this board in terms of voting does not end up being 3-2. And they, you know, my challenge to the board would be to demonstrate that there are some common issues that they could embrace and move forward with some 5-0 votes. And so I think it's time, and this is my suggestion, I think they need to take some time together away from a regularly scheduled meeting, you know, set aside some of the grandstanding and try to tackle this head on. If they're going to get a way to do this, it's going to have to be an open meeting. But I ask the public and the media to give them a little bit of space so that they can talk to each other and try to work out some of these differences. Because quite honestly, this is what they owe to the community as elected officials. And I don't think anything less is really acceptable. There's a lot at stake, and you mentioned it. You know, if this board continues to dysfunction, what do they think the chances are of finding a top-notch superintendent that would take the job? You're right. You know, everything is pretty transparent. It's pretty easy for, you know, a candidate to see what has been going on. And the talent pool, particularly for the urban superintendency, is really shallow. And I don't think candidates are going to be attracted to this kind of toxic environment. So, you know, if they're going to exercise due diligence, which I hope they will, in finding a new superintendent, they need to understand that the candidates are going to do exactly the same. And believe me, if they continue to see what this board has demonstrated in the past, it's going to be very foreboding, and the board is going to have to turn the tide, and the time for them to do it, I think, is now. I've conducted a lot of superintendent searches, and finalists usually ask, particularly if there's going to be a split vote, what should I do? And more often than not, I advise them not to take the job, to walk away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this board is going to have to come together on the little things. And on the big things, they're entitled to differences of opinion, and that, you know, that's vibrant, that's active, that's important, that they can choose to disagree, but they can disagree agreeably, and they can move forward, and they need to come together with some of the things. I was thinking back to a superintendent I know that was hired, and he attended his first board meeting, and after he was welcomed, he told the board he had a gift for them, and he presented them each with a badge, and he said, you can wear this anytime you want. And this badge said, it's not my fault, blame it on the superintendent.
Let me talk, go ahead.
And he talks about the fact that no board member ever wore that badge, that they got the message. They got the message that we're all in this together. And we truly are, and this board needs to realize that, and they need to start operating as a 5-0 board and not a 3-2 board.
All right, I've got 2 minutes left. What is H.T. Sanchez's future? He's a young man. This was his, I believe, his first superintendent job in a large district. What's his future like?
I think he's going to do well. There are a lot of positions out there. He's now in the marketplace as having been an urban superintendent. As I said, there's a lot of positions. For example, on my network, I see over 28 superintendencies alone in Texas where there are vacancies.
Wow.
And there's vacancies all over the country in very large districts, in medium-sized districts. I think he's going to have a lot of choice of opportunities. You know, he's got impressive credentials. I think he'll do well. And my guess is that, he had a bit of a payoff, and, you know, he's got a little bit of time to look, but actually this period of time right now is ideal if he wants to pick up another job and get back into the marketplace immediately. I think he's going to have an opportunity to do that.
Robert Hendricks, Dr. Hendricks, thank you. Always a pleasure. Appreciate your input in today's program. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor, adding some very interesting insights about where TUSD goes. We're going to change directions, talk about travel. Where are you going this summer? I'd love to hear from you. 790-2040. Ryan Hansen is next right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for one of my favorite segments, the travel segment on the Buckmaster Show with travel industry contributor to our program, Ryan Hansen, president and chief operating officer for Bon Voyage Travel, which is celebrating, they've done 40 years and they're into the 41st, delivering a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through their four offices. They have a very strong internet presence. It's at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan Hansen, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Travel's hot.
It is hot, and this is the time of year where everybody starts focusing on, hey, what are we going to do for summer vacation? I was looking at the Google people put out their top list of the what travel destination is Googled the most. Iceland, Reykjavik.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's very hot.
It's hot, yes. In Iceland. You know, what's interesting about Iceland, I think on a couple of fronts, is I think it's a perfect destination for the people that have been to Europe a lot, and they check off that list and say, oh, I've done all of the major cities in Europe. This is a new frontier, and it really is a frontier. I think a lot of people think it's the name, obviously, would lead you to believe, oh, it's uninhabitable and not somewhere where I would be able to relax. But I'll tell you, it's the Reykjavik area is a city setting, but what's wonderful is you've got a nice clash of some unbelievable ecological settings, from waterfalls to volcanoes. It's pretty amazing.
Highest waterfall in Europe. And we were in Iceland I believe we were on our way to Scotland. We stopped there, did Reykjavik for a couple of days. But believe it or not, I want to go back because I want to do that Golden Circle tour, which includes this huge geyser and the largest waterfall in Europe is there. But I want to include a couple of day side trip to Greenland.
Oh, I like it.
Which is done out of Reykjavik on Iceland Air. They have packages over to eastern Greenland, and it's only like 2 hours from Iceland over to Greenland. I've flown over Greenland. I've seen it from above, but I want to see those icebergs.
You know, every time we talk, I'm inspired more when I talk to you, because as somebody as well-traveled as you are, is there is still somewhere on the globe, if not a laundry list of places on the globe, that you either have not been to that are so excited to go to, or you want to go back. And that's the beautiful thing of travel, is any and all of our clients, there is some new destination or a way to travel to that destination that they haven't explored before. And Iceland is the perfect example of that, where, well, I've done Europe before, I've done all that. This is a totally different setting because of what you said, the environmental differences, the northern lights opportunities that you could have in Iceland if you're there at the right time of year, make it very special as a place. And it's not as far away as what people think. I think that's a lot of perspective.
It's
too far.
Iceland Air flies basically, they go from Denver, they go from Minneapolis. The Denver Reykjavik flight is like 6.5 hours. And basically, it's a great place to, if you want to stop there on the way over to Europe, that's great too. Travel vacations with the family, folks are always looking for something on the bucket list that would also include the kids. Africa, it's not out of the realm of possibility anymore from an expense point of view.
Not at all. And that's, again, a perspective or a perception of safaris being, oh, I have to spend, you know, mortgage my house to go on an African safari. But family safaris in South Africa now, you don't have to be way out in the bush. You would have the ability to get in and out of Cape Town easily. So you're one of the iconic cities of the world, would be a great stopover to stay in Cape Town for a while. And then obviously we have some great partners that are destination specialists. specialists on the ground that live in Africa, know where the animals are migrating, know what spots to be at that are A, safe for a family, mm-hmm. but B, get to see the big five, which are obviously the ones you would want to see, but that you can easily get to and do it affordably. So Africa's not something that maybe a couple years ago people were really thinking about as a destination to go to, but now it's definitely coming back. The Southern Hemisphere in general, and I know you have a trip that's coming up to New Zealand.
We'll be going to New Zealand in May. I'm very excited about that. Have not been to New Zealand. Everybody says it's fantastic.
Well, it's a setting for so many movies. It's a place where you film movies that are outdoors. Lord of the Rings.
The
Star Wars films, a lot of them are set there. So when you think about those are not CGI places. This is real places that you can see and touch in every vista from left to right when you turn around. Our owner had just been down. The owner of Bombayash was just in New Zealand at the beginning of the year. And this is somebody else who has been to, you know, almost 100 countries. And he says, Peter, I will go back to New Zealand. and I should have spent more time in Australia and maybe even down to Hobart in Tasmania. Quite possibly the best apple I have ever eaten is a Tasmanian apple. I would challenge any Granny Smith, Fuji, you name it, have a Tasmanian apple and you might think differently. But I think a perception of New Zealand and Australia of a lot of Tucsonans would be it's too far. Well, it's a 1-hour flight to Los Angeles,
right.
And then you're there in 14, 15 hours. And you say, 15 hours on a plane.
Actually, for
heavens.
New Zealand, you can do that one in 12 hours.
There you go.
And as you know, Ryan, I like to break up trips if at all possible because that gives me an opportunity to see something new. So we'll go with Air New Zealand going down, stopping in the Cook Islands.
Right.
And that's a 9-hour flight, basically about the same as it is L.A. to Tahiti. And then you have only 4 hours on the next leg down to New Zealand. So that breaks it up. And that's another thing. If you're going to go to Africa, break it up in Europe and see some wonderful things. And let the people at Bon Voyage, your travel specialists, get you a nice place in Europe to stay, and then they'll take care of all the arrangements. It's what they do for a living, and they do it well.
Well, yeah, and we talk about this all the time. Any investment that you make, you probably are going to make more money or save time or save money if you work with an expert to sell your house or a financial investment or your retirement dollars. We view travel as an investment of time. Anything that you dream about and plan for and set money aside is an investment. And that's the realm that we love to live in.
And I do want to do a big shout out to all of our friends who came out to the travel expo that Bon Voyage put on in February. Huge success, record attendance, a lot of people interested in cruising. This is the time now to be talking to the people at Bon Voyage about cruising. Speaking of some great deals, there are wonderful incentives right now, onboard incentives.
You bet. Onboard incentives from shipboard credit that gives you more money on board. Upgrades are possible. Pre and post hotels that could be complimentary. One of the cities on the list, if I may, of that Google list that we talked about was Toronto is on the list.
That's
beautiful
it.
Setting. There could be some awesome trips to Toronto, but for a Tucsonan's perspective, I'd throw in Vancouver
as Vancouver.
An easy stopover.
Yes, definitely.
Hey, go see Vancouver for 3 nights and then jump on an Alaskan cruise. You want to talk about the juxtaposition between a beautiful urban setting, maybe one of the most beautiful cities in the world in Vancouver.
It is. It's a beautiful
and
city.
And then you go into the outer reaches of Denali if you get off the ship on an Alaskan cruise, and you talk about the wildlife and scenery change that you'll experience from Vancouver to Denali. That would be breathtaking and a very memorable trip.
And if you haven't done cruising and you're worried about seasickness, the Inside Passage, I can pretty much guarantee you, up from Vancouver in what they call the Inside Passage, the Channel Passage, it's like glass. Very calm and a great way to do some cruising. So other cities on the list, Cuba, of course, is on the Google list, the top five. Cuba is on the list. Mexico is on the list, and one that I was a bit surprised about, Tokyo.
Tokyo, Japan. You bet. And that's where, you know, a lot of people can travel maybe domestically on their own, right? You may not need Bon Voyage for your trip to Las Vegas or your weekend trip to Los Angeles or the Bay Area. You may not think of us. You should, because we do have expertise in those areas as well. But whenever you're starting to venture into a place like Asia, Tokyo or China or Beijing, any of those areas, you're having a multicultural experience. You're having a new language, a new currency, new food. To have us be able to help navigate that for you is invaluable. You're not only, it's not just saving time, it's getting you to the places that you want to see and that you may not be familiar with. Tokyo is absolutely exploding in regards to, again, speaking of another urban setting that is exciting. My son, Jack, that is his number one destination
he wants to go see.
Yeah. He wants to be in a place that has that many people.
Yeah. Wow. and then Tokyo for those that, want to experience the wonderful setting of Tokyo, an urban setting like really very few places in the world with that kind of population, you can get out of town very quickly on the bullet train to places like Kyoto and all the ancient city, and there's so much to see. But anyway, we'll save that for another time. Please, folks, if you're thinking of a summer trip, Bon Voyage Travel should be the starting point. BVTravel.com. And Ryan, very much appreciate your time and all the best to you.
I appreciate it.
And
we'll
safe travels. We'll see you next month. Thank you very much.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the first Thursday of the month, we always welcome, honored to welcome, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk. Attorneys at Law, Luce Brown and Hobkirk attorneys, have three offices. Two are in the Phoenix area in the Valley of the Sun, and one here in Tucson on River Road, a beautiful office, very conveniently located, certainly for the foothills. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. Says right in there, Don Luce, non-lawyers. This is a book that was designed for the common folks who don't know really anything about the law.
Correct. Well, thank you for having me back, Bill. I always love talking about the law with you. And Arizona Laws 101 is a handbook for non-lawyers. It has 101 laws. I wrote it for people who don't have a law degree. If you have a question about a law, hopefully my book will answer your question.
Also, Don has a book about estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and that is an essential guide to getting your affairs in order, which we always recommend everyone do. So much going on this time of year. After all, it's a legislative session.
That's right.
And is there ever a shortage of measures that the lawmakers consider? No.
Not in Arizona.
And this time, one of the marquee focuses has been curbing voter initiatives. What is this all about? I understand there's now a handful, five measures that some say would have a very chilling effect, Don Luce, on the voter initiative process.
All right. Well, let's start with the most recent, which is the fifth measure that the legislature wants to put on the ballot. This would, in some people's estimation, increase the burden of getting a citizens' initiative on a ballot, like we saw with the recreational marijuana measure that was rejected by voters, like we saw with the medical marijuana initiative, which was approved by voters, and all of the other ballot initiatives that you see during the election cycle. The group of legislators who have advanced HCR 2029, which is the number for this bill, want to require any citizen group that wants to put a measure on the ballot to obtain signatures in each of the state's 30 legislative districts.
Whoa.
in proportion to the number of gubernatorial votes in each district during the last gubernatorial election. So
yeah, that gets complicated.
Well, here's the thing. If one legislative district doesn't produce the requisite number of signatures measured by the number of votes in the last gubernatorial election, then the measure does not get onto the ballot. Under current law, that's not required. Under current law, if you're going to propose a statutory change, which would be, as the name suggests, a change to a statute that's in existence, or to add a statute, you need 10% of the votes from the last gubernatorial election. If you're going to propose a constitutional change, that percentage increases to 15%. So using the 2014 election results, it would take approximately 150,000 signatures on a petition to propose a statutory change. which is equivalent to 10% of those who turned out. If you're going to propose a constitutional change, you would need 225,000 signatures, more or less, based on 2014 election results. Under the current proposal, HCR 2029, you would still need signatures, but the signatures would have to come from each of the state's 30 legislative districts in proportion to the number of votes in those districts that voted for the last in the last gubernatorial election. So the opposition says this is unfair. We could gather the requisite number of signatures statewide, but if we can't gather the requisite number in a single district under this proposal, then the measure would never end up on the ballot. And it shouldn't be, we shouldn't give the residents of a single district that much power. In other words, veto power to keep something from getting on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a fair debate about that particular point. The proponents of this measure say, well, you know what? That's the way it should be. If a particular legislative district doesn't want a measure on the ballot, then they ought to be able to essentially veto the ability of the citizens to put it on the ballot. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to end up, but I do know that it is a major deviation from the system that we've seen produce a lot of the citizen initiative law in the last several decades.
The Arizona Constitution has this provision for voter initiatives.
Yes.
And does it specifically say how many signatures is that set up in the Constitution?
It's based on a percentage of the voters who turned out during the last gubernatorial election.
Hmm. So this is one of five measures, but you would say of the five, this would make it the most difficult probably for that path to getting an initiative on the ballot.
I certainly think so. And the people who have looked at this are concerned that if this change were made, it would, the people who are opposed to it say, deny the citizens of Arizona equal protection rights under the United States Constitution because of this ability of a single legislative district to essentially veto a voter initiative. The people who are advancing this disagree with that, and they say that a similar law in Nevada has been upheld by a federal appellate court. So I think the takeaway is this would be very difficult to pass. If it does pass, it's probably going to be challenged in a lawsuit. Like we've seen other initiatives.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Back to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The other four measures that are trying to find their way onto their ballot have to do with how you compensate people who circulate the petitions. One measure would forbid paying the circulators based on the number of signatures they gather. There are a couple of measures that would roll back the 1998 Voter Protection Act that bars lawmakers from changing what has been approved at the ballot. And then yet another measure would require basically an advertisement for all future ballot measures that contains a warning that once approved, the legislature cannot alter or amend what the voters pass. So there you have it. You've got five separate measures, all to do with citizen initiative ballot measures, and all five seem to make it more difficult for citizens to get proposals on the ballot.
And the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, which is very unhappy that the citizens, the initiative about the minimum wage, they are behind at least one of these. Is that correct?
Yeah, the last one, the one about which we spoke first, HCR 2029, the Chamber of Commerce strongly supports that. And as you just pointed out, they also were opposed to the last ballot measure that increased minimum wage from $8.05 an hour to what is now $10 an hour, and which is going to go up to $12 an hour by 2020. I think the Chamber of Commerce and some other industry and business interest feel that, I don't want to paraphrase what they feel, but I think the sense is that it's too easy for laws to be put on the books with these citizen initiatives, and they're looking for a way to make it more difficult for the citizens of the state of Arizona on their own to put measures on the ballot, which once passed, the legislature has no ability to amend or change.
All right. Lots to talk about. Don Luce, thank you very much. Don Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. Mr. Luce, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Don.
Pleasure is mine, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check, another one of our fine local talk shows featuring the host, Mike Shaw, along with Ray Allen. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. Then our newest show, Talking Culture. Kevin is hosting that show. And Sam and Kevin on that show on Talking Culture. And until then, tomorrow at 12:04, I'm Bill Buckmaster. By the way, our guest tomorrow will be talking with David Coulier, who is the head of, or former head of, the Professional Journalists Association. Have a great afternoon and evening.